Okay, let's start with a confession. I was wrong.
I think we were all a little bit wrong on this one.
And honestly, if you've been following the tech headlines for the last 3 years, you were probably wrong too. It is February 4th, 2026, and for the longest time, we've all been operating under this massive, unexamined assumption.
Right.
The assumption was that the AI video war was over before it really began. We looked at Silicon Valley, at OpenAI with Sora, at Google with Veo, and we saw these massive GPU clusters, their data access, and we just said, game over.
It was a safe bet at the time. I mean, when you have the most compute, you usually win the race.
Yeah.
That's always been the rule of thumb in AI.
Right, brute force wins. But today, we are digging into a report that doesn't just challenge that rule. It takes it out back and breaks it over its knee.
It really does.
We're looking at a document from the Advanced AI Research Division at Taken Game, and it's about a new release that has just shattered the status quo. They're calling it a digital nuclear device.
It's a dramatic term for sure, but the report, which was authored by Majid, makes a really compelling case that the description is pretty accurate. The landscape hasn't just shifted, it's inverted.
So who dropped the bomb? Because it
Anyone?
wasn't Sam Altman and it wasn't Sino Pichai.
No, it's a Beijing-based company called Moonshot AI. Now, you might remember them from the Kini chatbot a couple of years
Oh,
ago.
yeah, the long context window thing.
Exactly. But they've pivoted hard. They just released K2.5. And the whole premise of this deep dive is that K2.5 isn't just a software update. It's not Sora, but slightly faster.
Okay.
It is a fundamental architectural departure from how we thought machines were supposed to render reality.
Okay, I want to pause on architectural departure because usually when we get these press releases, it's all marketing fluff. You know, it's we improve lighting by 10% or the shadows look less crunchy. But
Right.
you're saying Moonshot actually changed the engine under the hood.
Completely. And to understand why that matters so much, we have to look at the failure mode of the last 2 years. Think about that AI video fatigue that set in around late 2025. What was the one thing everyone complained about?
Oh, the jitter. The hallucinations. It was all that uncanny valley stuff. You'd be watching a perfectly good video of a cafe, and then suddenly a waiter walks by and he has seven fingers.
Yep.
Or a car drives down the street and just phases through a solid brick wall like a ghost.
Right. The lack of structural integrity. The report points out that the Western approach, the Silicon Valley standard, was just so heavily reliant on brute force diffusion.
So just throwing money at it.
Essentially, yeah. Throwing billions of dollars of compute at the problem and just hoping the model would statistically guess the laws of physics.
So it's like training a dog to catch a frisbee by throwing a million frisbees at it and hoping it figures out gravity instead of, you know, actually explaining gravity to the dog.
That is a surprisingly accurate analogy. It was, as the source puts it, probabilistic luck. If the model had seen enough videos of cups on tables, it would probably put the cup on the table.
But it didn't know the table was solid.
Exactly. It just knew pixels usually look like that,
Yeah.
and that's why we got the melting buildings. The model had no concept that buildings are rigid.
Okay, so this is where Moonshot pivoted.
This is it. They introduced the spatial temporal stabilizer, or STS, and instead of just guessing pixels, the STS acts like a rigid neurological framework.
What does that mean?
Before K2.5 even tries to assign color or texture, it constructs a complete latent 3D mesh of the entire scene.
Wait, it builds a 3D model first, like a video game engine.
Similar concept, yeah, but a generative one. It calculates mass distribution, collision vectors, inertial properties, all of that before rendering the image. It builds the skeleton before it even thinks about applying the skin.
So, to use the cup example,
Yeah.
it knows the cup has weight and it knows the table has a solid surface, so the math literally forbids the cup from falling through it.
Precisely. It's moving from probabilistic luck to Newtonian principles. The report cites a 40% reduction in geometric artifacts compared to the latest build of Sora.
40%.
40%. And that isn't a marginal gain. That is the difference between a cool tech demo and a clip you can actually put in a movie without anyone noticing.
See, that's the claim that always makes me skeptical, indistinguishable from reality. We've heard that every year since 2023. Does the report actually back that up with technicals, or is it just hype?
They back it up with the data on temporal consistency, which brings us to the second breakthrough. Because the physics is great, but physics doesn't matter if the AI forgets what the main character looks like 5 seconds into the clip.
Ah, yes, the temporal drift. my favorite. I love watching a character walk behind a tree and come out wearing a completely different shirt.
Oh, they turn around and suddenly they're 20 years older. It's a memory issue.
It's totally a memory issue. And this is where Moonshot really flexes. We need to talk about the 2 million token context revolution. 2 million tokens for video. Put that in perspective for me.
Okay, so compared to Sora or even the early GPT-4 models, Sora's like a gifted street photographer. It takes these beautiful shots, right?
Right.
But it has the attention span of a goldfish. It's all about the now.
Okay.
K2.5 is like an Oscar-winning director with an eidetic memory.
It remembers everything.
Everything. The report details a specific mechanism called Ring Attention 2.0, and it's coupled with something called persistent latent embeddings.
Whoa, slow down.
Oh.
Persistent latent embeddings. That sounds like some Star Trek technobabble. Break that down for us. What is that?
Okay, think of it like a digital DNA tag. Let's say your video has a character holding an antique coin. In a standard model, that coin is just a cluster of shiny pixels. If the hand moves, the AI regenerates the pixels, and maybe the coin changes shape a little.
Right, the scratch marks disappear. It's reimagining the coin every single frame.
Exactly. But with persistent latent embeddings, K2.5 assigns a unique vector identity to that coin. It notes the patina, the scratch on the left side, the way light hits the ridge. It locks that identity into its memory.
True.
So if that character puts the coin in their pocket and pulls it out 5 minutes later, which is thousands and thousands of frames later, it is the exact same coin.
That's the 2 million token window at work?
That's it. It can hold a massive amount of multimodal data in its active memory. You could feed it a 300-page novel character bios, costume designs, floor plans, and it can generate a 5-minute continuous shot where every detail from page 50 is consistent with page 200.
That's incredible, but it also sounds really expensive. Storing all that data, keeping track of every scratch on every coin, doesn't that just bog down the system?
You would think so. And usually, large context windows absolutely kill speed. But this is where the ring attention part comes in. It's a way of processing that memory in blocks.
Okay.
It essentially distributes the load so the system doesn't choke on its own recall.
Yeah.
It allows for that long memory without the horrible lag.
So it solves all the continuity errors, which means rotoscoping is dead.
Dead is a strong word, but the report suggests this eliminates thousands of hours of manual cleanup. You know, those poor VFX artists who have to go in frame by frame to fix a glitching finger or a shifting hairline.
Yeah.
K2.5 basically automates that quality control.
Okay, so we have perfect physics, perfect memory, but I'm looking at the gamer demographic here, and there's a number in this report that's going to matter more to them than anything else. 120.
Native, 120 frames per second.
Now, I have to play devil's advocate. My dad's TV says it's 120 hertz, but everything looks like a soap opera because it's doing that motion smoothing thing. Is that what this is? Just interpolating frames?
No, and the report is very, very emphatic about this. Interpolation is guessing what happens between two frames. This is generation. K2.5 is creating 120 unique, distinct frames every second from scratch.
Why does that distinction matter, though? I mean, if the motion looks smooth, who cares if it's guessed or generated?
It matters for accuracy and interaction.
Right.
In sports or high-speed gaming, interpolation often guesses wrong. It smears the ball, or you get ghost images of the player.
Right.
Native generation means the physics engine is calculating the position of that ball 120 times a second. It's crisp. It's true to reality.
And Sora is still stuck at 60.
Sora's 2026 build is capped at 60 FPS, yes. So for any high-fidelity applications, Moonshot has simply outpaced them.
But this brings us to the weirdest part of the story, and this is the part I'm really struggling to wrap my head around. We know for a fact that the U.S. has sanctions on high-end chips. We know China can't buy NVIDIA H100s or the Blackwell chips.
Mm-hmm.
So logically, Moonshot should be working with slower, older hardware. How on earth did they build a faster, more complex engine with worse parts?
This is what the report calls the Silicon Curtain Paradox. And it is probably the most important takeaway for anyone in the tech industry.
Okay.
It's the idea that constraint breeds creativity while abundance breeds, well, laziness.
Laziness? That seems a little harsh. Silicon Valley engineers are working 80-hour week.
They are working hard, but they're working inefficiently because they can afford to.
Mm.
When you have access to unlimited H100 clusters, you don't really worry about code optimization. You just brute force it. You use the paintbrush for everything.
The paintbrush?
Imagine painting a wall. If you have infinite time and resources, you might use a tiny fine point artist's brush to paint the entire wall.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly precise, but it takes forever and uses a ton of energy. That's full precision computing float 32.
And the Western models do that?
They tend to use this high precision everywhere because they just have the hardware to handle it.
Okay, and Moonshot.
Moonshot didn't have that luxury. They had domestic chips from Huawei and Beiren, theoretically weaker. So they had to get smart. They used what's called mixed precision training.
Right.
They used the fine point brush for the eyes, the lips, the intricate details, but for the blue sky. For a flat wall, they grab a giant paint roller.
That's the INT8 precision the report mentioned.
Exactly. They drop down to lower precision, INT8, for non-critical areas. It's so much faster and uses way less memory.
But doesn't that make the image look worse? If I use a roller, I lose detail, right?
That's the trick. The report says they developed extreme software-level optimization to know exactly when to switch brushes, so they don't lose quality where it counts, but they gain massive speed and efficiency where it doesn't.
Wow.
The result is an architecture that is 40% more energy efficient than the Western counterparts.
So the sanctions, which were designed to starve their AI program, actually forced them to build a better metabolism.
That's the deep irony here. The Silicon Curtain forced them to move away from brute force and toward architectural brilliance. They couldn't outspend Silicon Valley on hardware, so they had to outthink them on software.
And that efficiency isn't just an engineering flex. It translates directly to dollars and cents. I mean, this economic disruption section of the report, the numbers here are frankly ridiculous.
They're disruptive in the most literal sense of the word.
Okay, let's break it down. A 30-second action sequence. Marvel movie quality. Explosions, physics, high-res textures. In the traditional Hollywood system, what does that cost?
Oh, between the render farms, the VFX crew, the software licenses, the report estimates about $50,000.
50 grand. And with the Moonshot API.
Under $500.
The math doesn't even work there. That's a 99.9% cost reduction.
It effectively devalues the capital advantage of the big studios. Your moat, as a massive studio, used to be that you were the only ones who could afford a $200 million budget.
Right.
But if a kid in Toronto or a small creative team in Tehran or Dubai can produce the same visual fidelity for $500, the moat is gone.
It shifts the entire barrier to entry from capital to imagination.
Exactly. The report talks about the democratization of high-end VFX. And we aren't just talking about indie movies looking better. We're talking about a fundamental shift in who gets to tell the stories.
But let's look at where else this goes, because it's not just linear video, right? The report highlights sentient worlds in gaming. This was the part that actually got me excited as a player. We're not just talking about pretty graphics, are we?
No, no. This is about interaction. AI-native real-time cutscenes. Think about a game like The Last of Us or Red Dead Redemption. The foliage, the water, the way light hits the trees. Currently, that is all pre-baked or it runs on simple loops.
Right, the tree waves because an animator told it to wave in a certain way.
With K2.5 integrated into a game engine, that foliage responds to physics in real time. If you brush past a bush, the branches bend according to the collision vectors we talked about earlier.
Oh, wow.
If an explosion happens nearby, the shockwave ripples through the grass realistically, not because of a script, but because the AI understands fluid dynamics.
So the world actually feels alive.
And the cutscenes. Instead of watching a pre-rendered movie file, the game generates the scene on the fly based on your character's current equipment, the weather, even your previous choices. It's a totally seamless blend of gameplay and cinema.
That sounds amazing, but also expensive. Can a consumer console even run this?
Well, that's where the mixed precision and that efficiency comes back in. Because K2.5 is so optimized, the report suggests it's actually light enough to run inferred versions on next-gen consumer hardware or stream via the cloud with minimal latency.
Okay, so the tech is incredible. The price is plummeting. The quality is perfect. Which brings us to the inevitable Black Mirror part of this conversation. If this video is truly indistinguishable from reality, are we just done with truth? Deepfakes are already a nightmare. This seems like pouring jet fuel on the fire.
It's a completely valid fear. If you can render a politician committing a crime in 120 FPS with perfect physics for $500, that's incredibly dangerous.
So what's the plan?
Well, Moonshot seems to anticipate this backlash. They've launched something called the Quantum Signature.
Is that just a fancy name for a watermark? Because we all know watermarks can be cropped out or blurred.
This is different. A standard watermark is like a sticker you put on top of the image. The quantum signature is woven into the frequency domain of the video itself.
Frequency domain. Give me the non-engineer explanation.
Okay, imagine knitting a sweater. A normal watermark is like sewing a patch onto the finished sweater. You can just rip the patch off.
Right.
The quantum signature is like dyeing the individual threads before you even knit them. The pattern is inside the structure of the fabric itself.
So even if I compress the video or I screen record it on my phone or resize it for TikTok, the dye is still in the threads.
Exactly. It survives compression and format shifting. The report claims it is traceable with 99.9% accuracy using forensic tools. It's essentially truth infrastructure.
So in 2026, checking for a quantum signature becomes as standard as checking for a blue checkmark used to be. You just need to know if the pixels were captured by a lens or hallucinations of a GPU.
That's the hope, but of course it's an arms race.
It always is. So let's zoom out. We're sitting here in Feb 2026. The assumption of Western dominance is shattered. China has optimized its way to the front of the pack. Where does the report say we go from here? What is 2027 looking like?
If you think K2.5 is a leap, the predictions for 27 are, well, they're science fiction territory. They are projecting context windows doubling again. We are talking about one prompt, one film.
Generating a full feature-length movie from a single prompt.
Yes, but even wilder is this concept they're floating of neurophysical sync.
That sounds invasive.
It's the next step in acting. The idea is to sync the AI character, not just with an actor's motion, but with their biometrics. Real-time heart rate, galvanic skin response, micro-expressions.
So you're feeding the actor's biological state directly into the AI to drive the emotional performance.
Right. The AI isn't just mimicking the face, it's mimicking the physiological state of the actor.
It bridges that last gap.
Right.
The soul.
Exactly.
That is equal parts fascinating and terrifying.
That's the nature of this beast.
It really circles back to that thought about the movie studio, doesn't it? We talked about the kid in the bedroom making a blockbuster. If the barrier to entry is just imagination, does the studio system even survive? Or do we enter a world of billions of independent creators?
That is the multi-billion dollar question. The tools are there. The physics are solved. The cost is practically zero. The only limit left is what you can dream up.
A brave new world, indeed. We'll be watching closely to see if Hollywood adapts or if Moonshot just ate their lunch. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the new reality of February 2026. Stay curious, question what you see, and we'll catch you on the next one.